Second Chronicles chapter number 9. Second Chronicles chapter 9. We will read the last two verses of Second Chronicles chapter 9. Then we will read verses 1 through 11 in chapter 10. So 2 Chronicles chapter 9, I'll start in verse number 30. We'll read responsively here this morning. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 9, verse 30, "And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years together. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead." Chapter 10, verse 1. "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king together. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying together, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? They spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever together. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, and that stood before him. He said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, for another week, another Sunday, another Lord's Day, and another opportunity to hear your word from your man. And God, please be with our pastor as he preaches to us and give us exactly what we need. Might you be with us as we listen. Give us something that we can take that will help us to live a little more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Thank you for that. How many of you enjoyed the diaper dash? Well, my granddaughter's in big trouble. She didn't do squat. What she should have done is not fed her for a couple days, and then when you throw that bottle out, she'd have been all over it. But they fed her breakfast. They made a huge mistake. So thank you. You'll want to keep your Bibles open to 2 Chronicles. We're going to look at a few verses there. I do want us to understand this morning that none of us arrive to wherever we are at in life without several factors helping to determine where we end up. And one of the big factors that determines where people end up in life is the influence that they receive from others, or that they allow from others in their life. In our day and age, influence is everywhere we look around. Fact of the matter is, the television shows that are on our screens, they're not just shows to entertain anymore. They're trying to influence our society. They portray families as a certain way. You know, the kids are in charge of the family. They know everything. You know, mom's the go-getter and dad's a loser. And that's a lot of the nonsense that's going on. And a lot of just wicked things they're throwing out there. You cannot even, just throw this at you, you know, you can't even have your kids watch a lot of the Disney stuff anymore because they're throwing transgendered kids and all kinds of nonsense your way. Why? They're trying to influence society. We are influenced by the music that you listen to, regardless of what people say. You know, I just like the tunes. I don't really pay attention to the words. And it's funny, whenever they try to teach children something, you know what they do? They put it to a song because they know they get it. But the principles and philosophies, there. We're influenced by what we read. We're influenced by the schools and institutions in which we are taught. And I guess I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't say this. our school systems, our public school systems, are horrific in what they're teaching your children, just so you know those things. We're influenced by family members, and those that we are connected to. One of the strongest influences that we have are friends. Today, we're going to see a man that made a decision, and he had two groups that tried to influence him in this decision. And if you already saw, as we read, if you've read the story, he chose the wrong group to allow to influence what he did. The story is that Solomon is dead. His son Rehoboam is now taking over the kingdom. Now, when we think of Solomon, we think of wisdom, the wisest man who ever lived. And he was the wisest man who ever lived for a while. Towards the end of his life, Solomon was not good. Could it be because he had 700 wives, 300 part-time wives? And many of those were political type marriages, married those who worshiped false gods. And the Bible tells us that they turned his heart away from God. So at the end of Solomon's life, he is not who he was in the early days of his life. And the fact of the matter is, he started mistreating the people who he was governing. You see that by their response when they come to King Rehoboam. And so what the people do is they know Rehoboam is going to be made king, but they don't like the way the kingdom have went, the harshness that Solomon treated them with, and how he kind of just used them. And so they thought they'll come to Rehoboam and let him know, like, look, you know, we're kind of fed up with this. And if you would do us a favor, if you would just knock it down a notch, we'll follow you. You'll be our king if you could help us out. Well, Rehoboam sends him away for a few days and decides that he's going to counsel. So he goes to two groups. He goes to a group of older men who were with his father Solomon for Solomon's life. He gets their counsel. And then he goes and talks with his buddies. In the end, he decides to follow the counsel of his friends. The result is that the nation said, fine, we'll just go a different direction. And there were 12 tribes, and 10 of the tribes bolted, started their own, and then the other two tribes stayed with him. And it caused nothing but grief for all these years. Both of the groups that he counseled with saw a little bit of the past. They knew and heard what the problem was. And they heard the desire of the people that were asking him to back off a little bit, but yet they come to two completely different conclusions. In the story, I want us to notice two factors: the counselors and the counsel they gave. Now, all of us live our lives to a certain extent by the counsel that we get. And we may not sit in an office. We may not go to somebody and say, can I sit down with you and ask for your help in this situation? But all of us are influenced by somebody. And when we're influenced by people, in essence, that's counsel. And we make the decisions in our life based on what has been fed to us in our minds. And so I want us to see these two factors, and I want us to understand, because if we're not being influenced correctly, if we're listening to the wrong voices, if we're being pulled in the wrong directions, we are going to have problems. And so it's best that we listen and find out what is best. First of all, I want you to notice the counselors. This is really where our problems start. Most people have counselors in their life that they shouldn't. And again, I'm not talking about some psychologist and you're laying on his couch and paying him $150 an hour for him to pat you on the back and make you feel good. And that's not what we're talking about, because you're influenced by many different factors. Many people ignore the counselors in their life that they should listen to. And many people listen to counselors in their life that they ought to not listen to. But I want you to notice several things about these two groups of counselors. First of all, I wanted you to notice their influence. These two groups were vastly different from one another. I want you to see the first group that were with Solomon. They were the older, wiser ones. Look at verse 6 of chapter 10. It says, and King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. With the old men that had stood before Solomon. So you have the first group, and they're the older men. They've been with Solomon. Then you have the second group in verse 8. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men. The young men. Rehoboam made a decision primarily by who these guys were to him, not necessarily what they had to say. The influence that they had on him was based on friendship, not on wisdom. Yes, the old men could give better counsel. In fact, the matter is, we'll look at that second, and they did. Because they were with Solomon through the good, and they were also with Solomon through the bad. So they saw the right counsel, they saw the wisdom of Solomon, but they saw when Solomon had forsaken that and kind of went the wrong direction, and they saw the outcome, and they knew what to tell King Rehoboam. But his buddies didn't have enough common sense to get coming out of the rain. They were just kids. They were his buddies. They saw it from a different perspective, influence. Far too many people make wrong decisions based on unwise friends. And let me just say this. Just because someone is close to you doesn't mean that they know what is best for you. Now, sometimes friends are close and they understand you if they're a little bit of wisdom, but we think just because, well, I'll just follow what they said. And listen, that's not how it works. There's got to be some wisdom in life. Many times the bad influence is not purposeful. Sometimes it's things we've caught just by being around people. By the way, wrong friends are the worst type of influence that you can have. Be careful about the people you hang around with. You need to be careful about the people you hang around with at work. If they don't know the Lord, they might be nice people and everything, but be careful about the life counsel you catch from them. Who's taught them? We have a whole generation of young people that are clueless because they're listening to, look, and by the way, we live in a society where just because someone can throw a basketball through a hoop, he should tell me how to live. You know, and maybe I'm just upset this morning. I don't know. You know, Steve Kerr just irritates me. Well, he's a great coach. Yeah, he was whining the other day because he's tired of these, before basketball games, them honoring our military. It's too nationalistic. But it's like, just because he coaches a basketball team doesn't mean he knows what's best for my life. Well, that guy can slam dunk. Can I just tell you something? You don't need to have an IQ past a plant to slam dunk. You got to be able to jump, hold a basketball, and throw it down. That's it. But we allow people to influence, well, they're a great singer, and they should say something. But why don't you check their lives? Why don't you check how many wives or husbands they've had, how many boyfriends they've had, how many children they've had with how many guys, and back and forth, and all the nonsense. And I feel sorry for many of them, to be real honest with you. I'm not getting on them. They've bought the lie that the world tells you, that fame and money and everything. But we allow them influence, and we should not give them that type of influence in our lives. Be careful about family members sometimes who don't know the Lord. Love them. Don't ditch them, but I'm just saying. Sometimes people give you advice. It's like, well, thank you for that. Let me think about that. But it's totally contrary to what God would tell us to do. Careful. How about people you follow on social media? You know, my friend said this worked out for them. Is it scriptural? Because sometimes it doesn't always work out. Paul wrote a book of the Bible called Galatians. One of the main things in Galatians he's doing is rebuking them for turning from the faith that they were following closely to how they were not following that faith anymore. And he didn't say to them, "What in the world happened to you?" You know what he asked him? Who? Who hath bewitched you? Who did this to you? Because he knew they were being influenced by somebody. So let's be very careful. We cannot help but be influenced by those closest to us. So we must wisely choose who we allow to be close to us. Also, I want you to notice the counselor's experience. The groups were very different in their experience. In verse 6, it says about the old men, they had stood before Solomon, and I mentioned that. But the young men, they were brought up with him. I mean, you know, he knew him since they were in grade school. Sometimes experience in life matters. Sometimes experience and things that people have went to makes a difference. The sad thing is, in our society, we're getting to the point where we look down on older folks. Okay? They have a lot more wisdom than you realize. Well, you know, and you know what we do? Like, well, you know, they're out of touch with our new society. You know what? Their society wasn't, they weren't perfect, but I'll guarantee you, morality and things were a little bit better many years ago. Things are not getting better, we're getting worse. And Grandpa knew how to work. When I was at Grandpa's house, and we sat down to eat, you did not get up unless you asked Grandpa for permission. And most of the time, if your plate wasn't clean, it was no. Now, praise God, they had a floor heater they didn't use, because I flung a lot of stuff down there. Well, my grandmother could cook, but when she threw something down called eggplant, it's like, first of all, I didn't know eggs could grow, and that's not food, okay? That stuff was, but Grandpa kept you in check, okay? What? By the way, Grandma was quiet, she was sweet, she would help you, but she was tough as nails. You did not cross Grandma, okay? Do you know there's something to be, and I'm not saying if someone's younger, they can't help you. Don't get me wrong. It's really a matter of how close are they to God. But can I just tell you something? Here's a guy that has a six-month-old. He's going to tell you how to raise children, okay? Here's a guy that's been married for a year, and I'm going to lay it straight how marriage is. Listen, marriage doesn't start until after the honeymoon's well over, okay? There's just things in life that people know, and if they know God and they've taken some of the principles of God's word, they've kind of boiled it down and been able to put it into practice in their life, they have something to tell us. I remember one time, and my other grandmother, she lived on the East Coast, and my family was divorced, and I didn't see my dad's mom very, very, I maybe saw her two or three times in life, and I remember I was a teenager. I was about 17. I was working for my dad, and his mom was in town, and he paid me. He goes, "You're taking the second half of the day off, and I'm going to pay you still. You're going to go spend time with Grandma at the house." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." By the way, she was as mean as could be. And I'm like, you know, what 17-year-old wants to go spend 4 hours with Granny, who the only times he's seen her, she's cratchety. But I went there and I sat down with her, and you know what? It was great. She wasn't as cratchety as I thought. Now, she was tough if you crossed her. And I wouldn't cross her, and I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley, to be real honest with you. But you know what? She knew quite a bit. She was fascinating. Just sitting down there and her telling me things, you know, from 1910, that's how long she was, you know, 20s, and I'm like, stuff I didn't know. You know, some people that have been serving the Lord a little bit longer, they have something to say. Not your buddy. I went to church there. I want to just go. They don't have the IQ to fill a thimble. Okay? Let's be very careful who we allow to influence us. Experience matters. And I'm not saying this. Sometimes younger people, they have things to say. I'm not saying it, but let's see. Let's go around those who are mature in the Lord. Mature in the Lord. I like Jeremiah 5:5. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of God. He goes, you know what? I want to go to somebody, these great men, and what made them great? They knew God. And they understood some things of God, and I want to be around them. Let's be careful. Sometimes experience is good. And then lastly, position. They had stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived. But yet his young guys, they stood before him. You can almost see this group, right? These are my buddies I went to high school with, and now I'm going to bring them in, and they're going to be here because they're my friends, not because they've proven themselves. The old guys had proven themselves. The young kids were just his buddies. It's like, guess what? I'm the king. That means, you know, you're the assistant king, and you're the secretary to the king, and you're the king eater. I don't know, whatever job he got. Position. They were different in the positions. The other guys had earned their positions. Look, the point of that is the older men understood the situation in a way that the younger men never could. Never could. It's amazing, and I shouldn't do it, but I follow some things on Twitter, and these guys, and they'll go to college campuses, and they'll go to these college kids that are whining about something politically. You know, this guy hates women. And they'll just go up to him and say, give me an example. And they'll say, you know what happened? They heard it from somebody else. You know, one guy didn't like some policy coming out, so they went to him and said, hey, the guy that they did like, they said, hey, here's some policies he wrote. What do you think of them? They said, these are great. They're like, no, that's from the guy you don't like. And again, their answer was, because who are we listening to? We can't think for ourselves anymore. By the way, it's important that we think for ourselves. But sometimes, because these guys had been through it, they could see what was happening. They could see why the people would react like that. The young guys are going to see it and say, aha, they're testing you, Rehoboam. Don't you let up on them. You got to be tough, man. They're pushing you. And the older guys are saying, they're right. Your dad mistreated them. We've lived it. We've seen it. And if you'll just do this, but they didn't see it. Position. Be careful. The bottom line to all this is this. We must allow ourselves to only be influenced by those who have some type of biblical wisdom. Fact of matter, or wisdom in the area. You know, if you're starting a lawn mowing business, I would not go get wisdom from a guy that has a truck that's leaning sideways with a flat tire, and he's got one weed whacker and one lawnmower. I'd go find some guy that has a business that's doing well, and like, I'm gonna follow this guy, regardless of how. So let's get counsel from the right people. Number two, and I want you to see their counsel. We won't spend a lot of time on this, because if we follow the right people, we'll get the right influence. But their counsel actually is pretty good, and actually solves this right here, solves most of the problems that people have. It's pretty incredible. First of all, here was our counsel. The older guys. Number one, letter A, or underneath the counsel, be kind. You know what he's saying? Deal with the attitudes. Deal with that. They spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people. You know what he's saying? You can't have the attitude your dad had, because bad attitudes are going to cause problems. Do you know a lot of problems people have in life? It's because they have the attitude they have to deal with. Some people come out, they're talking with something. It's like, you know, I know the problem right off the bat. You need to have a change in your attitude, how you see things. He was spot on with that. Wrong attitudes cause us to look at life incorrectly. And by the way, wrong attitudes are caught by being around the wrong people too. I'm just telling you, the Bible says, make no friendship in Proverbs with an angry man, because it says you're going to learn his ways. Just by being around people that have attitudes, you are going to catch their attitude. It used to be so funny because I'd get in trouble, and my mom would look at somebody and say, you were with this kid when you got in trouble. You can't hang around with him anymore because he's a bad influence. And I'm thinking, I'm the one who influenced him. Now, say, why did I have that attitude? Because I hung around with Pastor Joe Esposito and Brother Johnny. I got their attitude, and I started spreading it. But my mom said, you can't hang around with that kid. It's like, listen, that's probably the best thing that his mom would ever want to hear. But attitude can be caught. He says, be kind. Watch our attitudes. We catch attitudes from those whom we are around. They influence us in our attitudes. He says, be kind to them. He also said, serve them. He says, and please them. What were they asking? They were asking them to do some things and lay off and serve us a little bit and please us. That deals with our actions. Their actions. Solomon's actions weren't very good. He says, you need to change your actions from them pleasing you to you pleasing them. How many times do we catch the wrong actions from those whom we allow to influence us? Here, look. Here's as you're growing up, you're taught something by your parents, whatever. And there's things you would never do, but you start to do them because you're hanging around with others who are doing those types of things. And there's just something about us, we want to be accepted. Our actions. Our actions are a lot of times a result of who we are around. And I say it many times, it used to be the teenagers, like, I know when they're starting to go bad. They're being influenced by somebody. Now, back then, it was somebody face-to-face. Now, it can be somebody on their cell phone, which, just to throw it out since you brought it up, I still don't think teenagers ought to have cell phones. There is nothing good about it. And since you asked, Brother Bouchard, I'll tell you. Most every time a teenager gets in trouble in our church, 99 times out of 100, a cell phone, an iPad, or a computer is involved. So it's not that I'm just against teenagers. I just like to play the percentages. But we get in. But you know what I found out? It's teenagers too. It's adults too. We're influenced by the people we're around. Our actions will change if we're around people whose actions are not right. So be very careful. And then lastly, he talks about their words. He says, and speak good words unto them. Speak good words unto them, for they will be thy servants forever. That deals with our articulation. How many times do our mouths get us into trouble? Way too often. How many have ever said something when you're discussing something, say, with your spouse? And you say something, and the words haven't even got to their ears yet, and it's like, man, I wish I could grab those back. Okay, I've never done that, but Lodia was telling me about something he said to Karina the other day, and I'm like, you shouldn't have said that, brother, right? Or maybe you just say it's like, oh, I just threw gasoline on that fire. By the way, if we're around people that have loose mouths, we're going to be loose mouth ourselves. That's a pretty good, you know, here's his buddy. There's buddies. My father chastened you with whips, I'll chasten you with scorpions. Really? Those guys are clueless. They have no clue what's going on. What's the point this morning? I don't know. I'm still mad my granddaughter didn't do very well. She like totally let me down. And she was at our house Thursday night practicing. And she was doing pretty good, but we hadn't fed her for a couple days. Maybe that's why. Here's the point. You have two choices in life. You can get good counsel, or you can get bad counsel. And where you end up depends on who you're listening to. Whether you go and ask somebody specifically, or they influence you kind of by your being around them. Most of our troubles are caused by what we allow to get into our mind. Let's be very careful this morning. Let's not be like Rehoboam. Hey, what do my buddies have to say? Yeah, we're going to take over the kingdom. He did. Two-twelfths of the kingdom, one-sixth. He lost most of the kingdom. Is that over 80% that he lost, something like that? Yeah, that didn't work very well. Whereas if he would have listened to the people that had some wisdom, they knew the ways of God, things would have went better. And by the way, you know what happened to those 10 kingdoms? As soon as they went there and got their new king, they totally discarded God. Rehoboam had no influence over them for right because he followed the wrong influence in his life. Let's just follow the right people, shall we? Let's make sure that we're very, very careful what we allow to get into our minds. Because what we get in our minds controls how we think, and how we think controls how we live every single time. Now, on the flip side of that, and I'm done, if we put the right stuff in, the right stuff will come out. And so we want to do that. Let's all stand together this morning.